As long as I can remember, I have believed in God. As a kid, I used to look up into the stars at night and try to imagine the infinity of the universe beyond them. I knew that there was some first mover who had to put everything into motion, including me. So you can imagine how excited I was when I went off to the seminary to spend years studying theology, the science of God. But on my very first day of classes at the Gregorian University, home to one of the most renowned theological faculties in the world, something happened to me that I still find really hard to explain. I sat there on the very first day of class, and a thought entered my mind. How do we know any of this is true? How can I have any certainty that any of what we are doing in this class right now and in the church has any relationship to reality? So my childhood faith was shattered in an instant, not under duress of argument, not under force of torture, but in a classroom where I was preparing to be a priest of a religion, I suddenly thought all was wrong. Now, of course, I had no idea what to do. My frame of reference for my entire life was the faith. So what do you do when it's gone? Well, I didn't know what to do. And so just after having been in the seminary for a couple of weeks, I did what any other Catholic would do. I just went to confession. I just didn't know what else to do. So I knelt in the box. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 2 weeks since my last confession. And this is my sin. I don't believe in God. I'm not quite sure what to do now. My whole life has been a preparation for entering the seminary, and now I don't even know if God is real. Poor dear Father Mauro, my confessor. You know what he did? He laughed at me. He laughed right in my face. There was no attempt at compassion or the beginnings of a dialogue where he would try to convince me that God existed. He looked at me square in the eyes and said, "Yes, you do. Don't be stupid. For your penance, to say the Our Father one time. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And that was it. I was fuming when I went out of the confessional. I had bared my soul to him, and he laughed at me. But you know what? I realized that it was a temptation against faith. It was a temptation against faith that I had entertained, and I did the only thing I knew to do when faced with a temptation. I went to Jesus. Very simply stated my case as I saw it, I received a very special grace. The cloud of my unbelief was lifted, never to return again. From that day forward, I have never again had such temptation. Now, that's not to say that it'll never happen again, but I was grateful for that moment. God gave me a choice to accept or reject him. I was pretty sure that I had rejected him. But in going to confession, I put myself under the power of his grace and mercy. And guess what? He won. Because whenever we put ourselves under the grace and mercy of Christ, he's going to win. Little did I know at the time that saints much holier than I have had experiences much more dramatic than mine. A young French playboy named Charles de Foucault was entirely certain, like any young late 19th century rationalist, that there was no God. But he was still fascinated by religion. So one day he went to the most famous confessor in Paris at the time, the Abbé Uvelin. He knelt at the grill and asked the priest to tell him about the faith. And the priest told him, "Confess your sins." And Charles was like, "That's not exactly what I'm here for. I want you to convince me that there is a God." And the priest responded, "I said, confess your sins." And they went back and forth until finally Charles had told his entire life story to the priest. As soon as he received Holy Communion at Mass right afterwards, he was flooded with an experience of faith. A French army man by trade, he then went out into the Sahara Desert to live among the Tuareg tribes as a hermit. The only Christian, the only priest, as far as the sands of the Taman Raset could see. There's something about the phenomenon of religion, and the practice of the Catholic religion in particular, which has attracted people to it for centuries. Man is always searching for God. Now, there's some who say that this is just some deep psychological need to find a way to transcend ourselves and our limitedness. The preachers of the New Atheism, Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, most notable among them, tell us that there is nothing beyond what we can see and taste and touch and hear and smell. It is the fundamental dogma of atheism, and it doesn't tolerate any doubt. The Christian, though, counters that God is precisely what is beyond human reason. And so no amount of human reason is going to prove, disprove, or describe what by its very definition is beyond the scope of human intellect. But because atheist doctrine is so inflexible, they see belief in God as the source of evil in the world. Because they do know that exists and can't come up with any other explanation for it than to pin it on those who hold that there is a summum bonum, a supreme good. Now, for the life of me, I can't understand why they waste so much time and energy fighting something that they tell us doesn't exist. But they do. And in front of their increasingly violent attempts to extinguish faith in God, we stand before them with the poverty of our faith. A faith which allows questions. Remember Job in the Old Testament, questioning God and his friends as to the actions of God in his life. A faith which can withstand moments of doubt, and which still moves mountains and sees miracles in the ordinary daily ebb and flow of life. But for all of the sarcastic and sophomoric editorializing about how much of a waste of time believing in a God the atheist wastes more time obsessing over than we do, man still searches for God. What led St. Simon Stylites in 5th century Syria to perch himself on top of a pillar for years to pray? What led the brilliant Benedict of Nursia to abandon his studies and a brilliant career in 6th century Rome to flee to a cave at Subiaco to pray? What led Charbel Maklouf in 19th century Lebanon to spend the entire morning preparing to celebrate Mass every day and the rest of every day in thanksgiving for that Mass? What led the beautiful young woman named Sister Nazarena, an American, to wall herself up in a chapel in Rome from 1939 until she died in 1990, so that nothing would distract her from prayer? The word monk comes from the Greek monos, which means solitary. In every age, men and women have thirsted for God so much that the world has no allure for them. They set out on purpose for the desert of solitude so that they can find a God that they know exists, and they cannot rest until they are entirely at one with Him. Now, most of us are not called to a monastic vocation to radical solitude. I can tell you that I'm not. People say I talk too much and I don't really want to make cheese all day long, okay? But we still, all of us, search for God. But how do we go from looking for Him to finding Him and then becoming one with Him? We know far too well that many have set out on the adventure of faith and then turned back. No one is born an atheist, and no one loses the faith all at once. To say, "I believe in God," is not the same thing as to say, "I believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States. I believe that Al-Qaeda cells of terrorists exist. Or I believe that tomorrow the sun will rise in the east." To say, "I believe in God," requires not, first of all, an act of faith. That comes later. It requires that we come to grips with our own littleness and crucify our pride. It requires that we develop the virtue of humility to realize that God is beyond what can be felt or thought. It requires that we abandon ourselves to Him. Then, and only then, can we receive from God the supernatural gift of faith. To say, "Yes, God is who He says He is." To say that in my heart, in history, and in the living tradition of the church. You know, many people were scandalized to read after she died Mother Teresa's spiritual correspondence, which was published as a book called Come Be My Light. In it, we discovered that from the time she chose to serve the poorest of the poor in Calcutta till she died, she was plagued by spiritual dryness and the feeling of the absence of the divine presence that she had felt so keenly her whole life. But Mother Teresa persevered in faith. "I believe in God" wasn't something she just repeated with her lips every Sunday at Mass. She heroically abandoned herself to love because she knew that where love was found, God was present there. Her whole life was an act of abandonment. an act of faith. I think that this is why Mother Teresa is one of the most important saints for our modern age. She was not a selfless philanthropist who spent her years doing good deeds for the poor. She became a living flame of love that was a sign to the world of the transforming power of love, the presence of God. Although in the midst of being that living flame of love, she couldn't see it herself. Mother Teresa's spiritual journey is the perfect antidote to the self-absorbed counterfeit spirituality which fashions religion in our own image to make us feel good about ourselves. In her, we find Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In her, those words become real. I know that there are some of you tonight who are still searching for God. Some of you fear that you just can't seem to find Him. You must lose your life in a heroic act of abandonment to a life of love. That's where you will find the presence of God. That is the only way that we will allow God to find us. And for our I believe in God to mean anything. Charles de Foucault once wrote a beautiful prayer of abandonment. I want you to pray it along with me now so that we can pray that all of us may find God, to allow God to find us. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Amen.